Good evening. God bless you. If you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 12 through 32. I'll give you a moment to get there. Title of tonight's message is Set Free by God. We're to speak all the words of this life. Let's open in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, Lord, for your word and the word that you have tonight for us, Lord. Help us to take to heart. Help us, Lord, to know the words of life, to know how you intend to use them in our life and to the lives of those that we reach out to, knowing that there is no barrier that you cannot remove. There is no place that you cannot get into. We just ask, dear Lord, that you would help us under your authority to go where you lead. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, looking at Acts chapter 4, 32 through 5, 11, though we share in Christ's love and are joined together as one body, we saw that hypocrisy kills, as it quenches the spirit, fills the heart with deceit, and leads to death, as it did with Ananias and Sapphira. And God protected his church as he passed judgment on them. So beware of Satan. What he can't do from the outside with persecution and all its fears, he attempts to do from within. As he is both a deceiver and a murderer, and as the church, we must be prepared for his attacks of hypocrisy by every person having on the full armor of God. As we must remember, this armor is meant to protect believers from this very thing that is hypocrisy. May we heed this warning, put on the full armor of God, and not fall to pride's temptation. But just be who we are in Christ, nothing more, and certainly nothing less. Pastor Robin sent over his notes to me, so if the beginning of this sounds more like him than me, it is. And we'll eventually move on through that. Tonight, we'll see, even though great fear had come upon the people who heard these things, that is Acts chapter 5, verse 11, the church continued to go and grow, as the apostles did many signs and wonders among the people. The gospel went out, as the healing power of God was demonstrated by them. And again we see the high priest come against them and throw them in prison. But set free by God, they are told, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life, the life that we have in Christ eternally. Our application, set free by God via the good news of Jesus Christ, may we do the same and speak all the words of this life, the whole counsel of God, to the people, to set them free in Christ. Let's look into Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter, passing by, might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people, and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, and brought them out, and said, go, stand in the temple, and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those who came and called the council together, with all the elders of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely, and the guards standing outside before the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests had heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Stop there. Great fear came upon all the church, verse 11, from last time, to all who heard. God's message was loud and clear. Don't test God, and fear what he can do to both the body and the soul, as Jesus mentioned in Matthew 10:28, to not fear those who could kill the body, but to fear the one who cast body and soul into hell. The physical death kept pretenders away. The fear of hellfire kept believers in Christ. As God is love, but he is also just, and may this message resonate in our hearts as well. And while we do not see people being struck dead, we do hear of people from time to time who were in church leadership dying and then discover they were leading a double life. We have God's full armor to protect us from such temptations, the helmet of salvation to keep our thoughts pure, the breastplate of righteousness to protect our hearts. And they were with one accord, worshiping God in truth and spirit. Let's look again at verses 12 through 16. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. This is something that the high priests should have had some part in, but they were not. The Lord was not using them. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Read that, the east side of the temple. From the east side of the temple, you could look into the temple looking to the west. Yet none of the rest dared join them. But the people esteemed them highly. There are many people who stay in that uncomfortable place to where God is within sight. But since they won't move, there is no effect for them. They cannot be affected in the way that the Lord intends to be saved. They keep things at an arm's distance. I was one of them for a long time. Thought I knew the Lord, claimed to be a Christian, but I didn't know the Lord. And I kept Christian things right about here at arm's reach. Just close enough to see. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities of Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Believers, not pretenders, were increasingly added to the Lord, both men and women. It is easy to pretend, but that pretense will eventually be pierced. It will be exposed to your own heart, probably to others, and it may be painfully so that it's exposed to others before it's exposed to yourself, if you're in that position of pretending. As a result of God's healing power given to the apostles, the sick were brought out into the streets. Possessed people were brought from the surrounding cities, and they were all healed. All of them. Does that not remind us of Christ healing all? This seems to infer even Peter's shadow was a faith trigger. Not that there was anything special about Peter's shadow, more than anyone else's, but merely like the woman who reached to just touch the fringe of Jesus' robe. The belief in God was there. The faith was there. God blessed a pure church with a great resurrection power and grace. May we seek this too. Our application with that, may we be used by God for his purposes and his glory, instead of using God for our purposes and our own glory, as this literally tests God. So don't do it. Instead, put on the full armor of God and stand firm against the wiles of the devil. But just be who we are in Christ, nothing more, certainly nothing less. Looking at verse 17 and 18. Is after all these people are brought out and healed. It says, then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, that is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. The apostles, like Jesus, whom they represent, are persecuted because their good works and popularity are a threat to those who have an interest in the status quo of religious and moral darkness. In other words, the apostles have put the priesthood to shame by living and acting in the power of the Holy Spirit and speaking the words of life, the very things that the priests should have been doing, not acting like hirelings, worried about their jobs. The words of life, the gospel of Jesus, sacrifice of himself for our sakes, and his forgiveness of sins to those who repent, and the new faith, the new life of faith, overcoming sin, and venturing into the new works that the Father has ordained for each believer. These are things that the high priests wanted no part of. The Sadducees were a sect that didn't believe in most of the Bible. And even the part of the Bible they did believe in, they didn't understand well. The high priest, at this point, is with them. Verse 19. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out, and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. We have that from Hebrews 1:14. God sent this angel to minister to the apostles. They are not only set free, but they're set free for a purpose, that they may go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. God did not set the apostles free so that they could flee the wrath of the priests, or so that they could find peace and comfort elsewhere in some safe, comfortable shelter. They were set free for a reason. Is this the pattern of our own lives? Are we not set free so that we may proclaim the words of this life that is set free from our sin, from the bondage of our sin? Instead of being set free to seek out our own pleasure and comfort, are we truly looking to proclaim the words of this life? Is that our goal now? I pray so. I've seen it here. I know it's in hearts here. I'm thinking of Pastor Saeed and many like him, whose names I don't yet know. The Lord may free him at any time, without the guards even knowing about it, as was the case here. Yet the Lord is making Saeed a part of his plan to speak life, to speak of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, to those in the darkest part of Iran. See, when the angels opened up those doors, it was so that the gospel could go out. It may be that the Lord will open up doors so that the gospel can come in. Is that case where Saeed is? The Lord found the darkest place possible and put his servant there. We have our own places here. We know by looking around us what darkness there is around. If we look with the Lord's help in discerning what is around us by his Spirit. When we see that, that is our opportunity to go through the door and to speak the words of life to those who need it. It may be a prayer. It may be simply coming along someone, putting your arm on their shoulder, your hand on their shoulder, and say, "Can I pray for you? I know you're having a hard time." Speak the words of life that encourage, that lift up, and that heal. No place is beyond God's reach. No heart is beyond God's reach unless the heart itself decides to walk away from his love and life in Christ Jesus. Praise God that he looks for lost sheep like I was. And we all once were before we were converted and trusted him and abide in him. The apostles do not dwell upon the fact that an angel spoke to them. I know there's been times that I wanted the Lord to say something to me. Curtis, in a very humorous way, spoke of that time of wanting a sign from the Lord and reminding very humbly that the Lord said, "An adulterous generation seeks after a sign." We don't need a special sign from the Lord. We've already been given he who is lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness. We've already been given Jesus. We have plenty of sign. I'm amazed always that they asked Jesus to give them a sign right after he had fed 4,000. Seemed like a pretty good sign to me. But this messenger, which is what an angel means, says in verse 20, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." Just a reminder that we need to always make sure that we know the full counsel of God, that we read his word and get into it every day. Don't ask anyone to make a resolution. Merely read your Bible daily. Be fed. Verse 21, "And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together, and with the elders of the children of Israel, and with all the elders of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought." Now, the procedure was if someone was accused of something, they were not to be tried on it in the same day, which they did to Jesus in the same night that he was accused. However, here they seem to have remembered their form, though they don't have any substance. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely, and the guards standing outside before the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." That should have been a very quick thought to them, that there was a power beyond normal human power at work, that the Lord himself was doing something. Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. This doesn't look good. All this supernatural stuff is happening again. We don't like that. We like the status quo. We like things before Jesus showed up, because they liked darkness better than light. Darkness cannot comprehend light. The power of God was beyond the imagination of the priests, and they were bewildered. God's power isn't science. He has and may always use anything he wishes to, for his own will and for his own purposes. But his power is beyond anything man can understand. His power is at his discretion to use, and for his purpose alone. He heals with the physical. He parts the sea, rains hail on his enemies. He speaks, and it is so. He walks on water, silences the wind and waves, and he speaks to us when we pray. He speaks to us in a still, small voice. And he takes away our heart of stone, if we're willing, and gives us a heart of flesh that is soft and tender to his word. And he has healed our dead spirit and made us to be born again in Christ Jesus, passing the old nature away to be reckoned dead, as baptism symbolizes. And he encourages us and enables us to give his precious word to a dying world that is blinded by Satan from seeing the truth of Jesus. Being released from prison once didn't mean that being imprisoned would never happen again. It would have been tempting for them to think that, since they were miraculously released, that God would keep them from ever being arrested again. That wasn't the case. When the apostles went back in custody, they knew how easy it would be for God to release them again. If it pleased him to do so, it would be. Their past experience of the power of God had filled them with faith for the present. Is that your experience? May our experience, our time with Jesus, of actually knowing him, embolden us in every situation. The priests, however, are filled with doubt. They wonder what this outcome will be. Remember, they're supposed to be the ones with authority and in control. But they're not. Verse 25. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men that you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people. The apostles are gentle as doves here. They could have incited the crowd to protect them. "Look what they're doing to us! Come help!" It could have happened. They didn't. The guards, after all, were afraid of the people. The guards feared the people, as their rulers did, rather than fearing God. Again, verse 26. For they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? They don't want to speak the name of Jesus, do they? And look, you've filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Very words that the people shouted when Jesus was before Pilate. Pilate tried to wash his hands of the blood. Priests are trying to do the same here. The charge that the apostles did intend to bring this man's blood upon us is interesting. The high priest no doubt meant that the apostles intended to hold the Jewish leaders responsible in some measure for the execution of Jesus. Yet, we know the apostles must have desired for the high priests and the other Jewish leaders to come to faith in Jesus, even as some of their other priests did later, Acts 6, verse 7. For certain of the apostles wanted to bring the covering, cleansing blood of Jesus upon the priests. The intent with them, they will get in their face with the facts. But when you're presented with the truth, the Lord's intent is that you repent. How people act and react when their heart is pierced will go one way or another. Either, like those who heard Peter early in Acts, they'll be pierced to the heart and repent. Or, like when Stephen preaches later, they will be pierced to the heart and gnash their teeth. It'll go one way or the other. They will, however, address directly the high priest and what he is to do with Jesus. And here we will see it. But Peter, in verse 29, and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand, just as Jesus had told them himself that the Lord would do, to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." That's the invitation in the midst of the conviction of the heart. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Peter and the other apostles, in saying that, to those who obey him, this is salt and light. You've had a cut before, and you felt salt in it, and it hurts. But it also cleanses. What they had to say was true. It was direct. And it hurt. If they had taken it, it would have cleansed if they had repented. Words that pierce to the heart. Our heart decides whether to repent and be saved, or gnash our teeth at God and stopper our ears as Satan blinds the eyes of faith. Whom do you obey? Then he who you obey is your God. I pray that you would obey the Father and his only Son, Jesus, and that you would obey his Holy Spirit by listening and walking in his holy light, bearing his gifts of royal armor that is holy, and wielding the sword of the Spirit, the very word of God, set free. Have you been set free by God? Then follow his commands. Live the way he shows you. He will open up new opportunities to you. Ask him for them. Think in your heart, when was the last time I asked the Lord to open up an opportunity for me to tell of him, to touch someone else's heart, to pray for them, to let them know that someone the Lord loves, you, me, that the Lord has sent to their life, specifically for them. If you've been set free by God, then follow His commands and live the way that He shows you and me how to live. Live fully surrendered to and in love with our Lord. Speak these words to anyone who is willing to listen. That's what the apostles did. In the temple, anyone willing. Some will stand off and not respond. Some will be saved. Speak on with the words of this life, which is the person of Jesus, and abiding in Him and walking after Him, bearing our cross daily and His love in our hearts always. I pray you take seriously asking the Lord for an opportunity, especially an opportunity that doesn't look like it'll ever happen. He can open the door. We know that. Ask Him to open the door, to give the chance. Some will respond, some will not. But ask for a fresh opportunity. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful, Lord, to You for Your word and the boldness that You give us and the authority that You give us to speak Your word everywhere and with full confidence. Help us, Lord, to be bold. Fill us, Lord, with Your Spirit. Help us to be harmless as a dove and yet wise. With Your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.